there no end to your own hypocrisy? Your God is power, you have no shame. Your only interest is political gain. You hide your eyes and refuse to listen. You play your game.
Coming up next, America Can We Talk with your host, Debbie Georgiatos.
And hello and welcome to America Can We Talk. I'm Debbie Georgiatos, and thank you so very much for tuning in to our very special Thursday shows. We dedicate each Thursday show to an interview, a full 1 hour interview with a very special guest. And we most certainly have a very special guest today in studio named Garrett Ziegler. Before I get to him, I want to quickly again thank, periodically I thank the artists who provide that music we all listen to, and everyone thinks of it now as my show song, but it's actually by Krista Branch, and she sings, her husband writes the lyrics and writes the music, stellar couple, and they really, this I Am America, that's exactly what my show is all about. We are America. We the people are America. So our guest today is Garrett Ziegler, and I will tell you that a few years ago, my husband, who was really, really attentive watching things on Telegram, kept saying, you got to get this guy Garrett Ziegler on your show. That is a true story. And I didn't really know how to get in touch with him, and actually, as it happened, within the last few weeks, I was able to connect with him, and he's here in studio with us today. He worked in the Trump White House, and he wrote what we're going to be talking about, so I'll just show you. He wrote this book, which I'll hold up. And it is, let me show the side first. That's how thick it is. It's a serious thick book, but this is the book we'll be talking about today. And I hope everyone listening will decide to purchase this book yourself. But the book is called Report on the Biden Laptop. It was actually pulled together by an organization he formed, Marco Polo, and it reflects an enormous amount of work, essentially reporting what is really in the Hunter Biden laptop, the famous Hunter Biden laptop, and it breaks it down in the most logical, orderly way, which we'll be talking about in just a moment. But first, I want to welcome to our show, Garrett Ziegler.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
I'm excited to have you here, and I'll tell you also for our listeners, we actually met for an hour before the show today because I had never met him before. And, you know, I know people, I get a comment after speeches and shows that I talk too fast. Okay, I'm just telling you, we'll be a competition up here.
You know, that's about the only thing I have in common with Ben Shapiro, is that we talk at the same speed, so.
But there's a lot of important things to say, and you gotta just get it
out.
Yeah,
you know, it's when you're passionate about something, you never know if you're gonna have the opportunity to see that person again. So you wanna get everything across, you know, that you can in the time. And that's why it's 179,000 words. I thought we were gonna get it done in a year, this dossier, but it took me twice as long. And I had a few lovely, righteous people who were angry because I said that it would be done at a certain time because I was budgeting 330 pages. Mm-hmm. But when there is so much criminality, I mean, and it's the American human carnival. Tom Wolfe couldn't create this dossier. He couldn't create the events that produced it because it's like A Man in Full or Bonfire of the Vanities. It's really something.
It is really something. That summarized it well. It's actually the depth and length, and I'm trying to find the note I made. Among many other things in this book, you break down the logically the contents of the laptop, and it's over 120,000 emails. Is that right?
Yes.
There in here? Over 120.
Well, not in the report. We just put the ones that were criminal in the report. So out of the 128,000 emails, which is the lion's share of the correspondence, there are iMessages and some other forms of communication on there. But our goal with this dossier was to put out everything that we could prove on paper, not just an allegation, or, you know, but everything that we could prove was a violation of a state or federal crime or regulation. And that number is 459. That's a floor.
459
state and federal
crimes.
Yes.
Crimes. 459 yes. Crimes. Okay, and it's 638 pages.
Yep. Yep.
It's a lengthy thing, and so before we dive into it, which is the whole rest of the show.
Yes.
Quickly, if you tell our listeners, what did you do in the Trump White House?
Yes. So I worked for 23 months. My first day was February 20th, 2019, and so exactly 20 months. And I worked for a gentleman named Peter Navarro. Peter is a righteous, bombastic, eccentric, unique man who didn't play well with others because he actually believed what the president believed on trade. There are a lot of people in the Trump White House who didn't believe what the president believed on trade and thought it was their sort of calling to basically treat the president sort of like a bombastic child and sort of rein him in. Well, Peter wasn't like that. And so it quickly dawned on the president that Peter needed his own shop to work. He couldn't work well with Gary Cohn and other globalists. And so what he did was he signed an executive order creating the Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy.
Yeah, trade and manufacturing. Yes, that was the thing he had.
Yes,
yeah.
And so Peter was a college professor for 30 years, preceding his White House years from 86 to 16 at UC Irvine. And of course, the powers that be in the White House gave him a very low budget. And so what we had was four staffers for Peter, and it was essentially, I would say, a college research assistant position for PhD students. All of us were under 30. All of us were, you know, economic populist. I think what the founders did on trade, and a lot of people don't believe what the founders believe on trade. And so what we did for Peter was create slide decks, research things. It's in fact what made me want to start Marco Polo. Open source intelligence is changing the world, and what we can do with county property records and everything else. I couldn't have started Marco Polo in 1988. There just wasn't the amount of data that's out there. And so I think what Marco Polo is trying to take the vastness of what's available through open source intelligence and sort of revealing what's going on underneath the table of money laundering and other crimes. And so I worked with Peter for nearly 2 years, and how I sort of got a following on Telegram was that I was one of the half a dozen White House staffers who didn't conduct interviews for their next job before President Trump left. There were literally White House staffers having interviews in the White House in the middle of December of 2020 because they didn't believe that there was election fraud, and most importantly, their careerists who will do whatever they can to move up. And I obviously, like you, believe that it was a joke, that mail-in ballots are, and even some Democrats admit this, are ripe for fraud. And so I worked with Peter on the quote-unquote Navarro report, which outlined, and again, this was a very conservative report like this is. We put nothing in there that we have no evidence for. A very conservative report that outlined all of the irregularities that occurred, the spikes in the middle of night, the lower standards for mail-in ballots vis-a-vis in person. And so, Peter was sort of like an uncle to me, and he's, of course, getting persecuted. He's going to be on trial next month in the District of Columbia for quote-unquote defying Congress, and they asked him to do an illegal thing, which is produce communications which are privileged because they were between him and the President of the United States.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I love all that background. And Peter Navarro was on the show earlier. He also wrote a great book about the year of COVID. He called it In Trump Time, My Journal of America's Plague Year.
Yeah.
And he was brilliant talking on the show about how quickly he saw what the problem was with COVID. And he was really brilliant in his assessment of the situation. Well, let's turn to this book. And I'm just going to tell our listeners very quickly, this book, people make reference to the Hunter Biden laptop all the time. And they say, because there's fraud, because somehow something is wrong with something that was in the laptop.
Or he smoked crack or something.
Yeah, and there were lurid pictures in there. And he was, he engaged in a lot of,
Caligula-like behavior.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway, what I want to say about it is, the laptop has what really lays out what the DOJ should have done the moment they received the laptop and the FBI received it in its possession. The FBI had this laptop long before the 2020 election, could have looked at the contents, could have realized a criminality reflected in many, many documents, and they just sat on it.
Yes.
So this is really what they should have produced, and really because they didn't, and because most people don't know what the laptop says, your book, I'm just going to quickly tell our listeners how this is organized, because it's just brilliant. At the beginning, just the table of contents tells you, they're going to tell you the background, and I will say, every bit of fact in here, it has facts at the top, footnote, 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 footnote. There's no speculation. There's no accusation. It's just data. I love this kind of stuff because it's irrefutable. Business-related crimes is one section. Runs through all the business-related crimes proven by the contents of the laptop and then tied to the federal statute or state statute which it may violate, broken down by countries, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Romania, sex-related crimes, of which there are many, and images, which we will not share on this show, and then drug-related crimes. And what you really realize is the laptop is just, it should have been a treasure trove to the FBI. Should have been. So I just want to jump in and start.
Yes.
You talk in the very beginning, you use this term, I told you I like this term a lot. You use this term about the way the FBI, so everyone knows Hunter Biden, in some apparent confused mental state, brought his laptop into a repair shop, mm-hmm. and forgot about it. So they have the laptop.
April 12th, 2019. And he brings three in. Because, of course, you know, mere mortals like myself and non-princelings, I have one laptop. Yeah. But Hunter had three, and all three of them were water damaged, some more than others. One of them was completely gone.
Totaled, yeah.
The other could be used, but it had to be used with an external keyboard, which the repair shop owner gave him. By the way, he never returned the keyboard. So Hunter actually owes him $85 for a keyboard.
Just saying, yeah.
And then the third one was able to be salvaged. The data was able to be salvaged from it, but it needed a couple of days of work to do so. And that's the one that I have a copy of. And I have a copy of the hard drive. I don't have the original one. That was given to the FBI. It's probably at the bottom of the Christina River outside of Delaware right now.
Yeah. Bob, their to-do list, too.
Yes.
You made, and I think one overarching point that this makes, and I think it's really important people to understand, you know, for most of our lives, most of American history, as long as since the FBI was created, most people think the FBI is supposed to be neutral and is supposed to be engaged essentially in yes. enforcing the laws again equally as to all people. You use an expression that's going to bug me if I don't find it.
Multi-vector
quickly.
Suppression campaign.
Say it again.
A multi-vector suppression campaign.
Yes, multi-vector yes. suppression campaign. Isn't that great? So just give us a run through of the FBI's conduct once they had this laptop in their possession long before the 2020 election. And what you mean by that when you say multi-vector suppression of the truth, really?
Yes. So our thesis is much different than what you'll get from, say, Sean Hannity, which is he believes, and I'm not even paraphrasing him, I'm using his exact verbiage, which is the seventh floor of the FBI is the problem, the leadership, the assistant deputy director, et cetera. We take a much different approach, and the reason why we do is because it's borne out by the paper trail and by the communications that we have found, which is line agents, lower level folks, so the people at my equivalent at the White House, not, you know, the Donald Trump level, the people who actually do most of the work, they're the ones who stonewalled, who covered up, who basically told the shop owner, hey, if Hunter comes back into this shop for his laptop, stall him for a couple weeks, we'll make up an excuse and give it back to you. So they were the ones playing cover up, and their agent, the agent's names are Josh Wilson and Mike Zelak. And it took us 14 months and a couple of private investigators to actually find a picture of this guy. He had
Zelak.
Zelak, yeah. Zelak deleted his Facebook, no pictures on LinkedIn. He basically scrubbed his online presence in October of 2020 when his name was leaked. But I wasn't pleased with the level of granularity that was out there. I knew that the Republican Congress, even though they were in the minority for those 2 years, wouldn't take the time to put something like this together, which they should have. If they're in the minority, the Republicans in Congress should have been writing this report. But I knew they wouldn't. They would have, they punted. And so I did it. And it really goes into all the agents, Mike Zelak, Joshua Wilson. So all this was happening in the Baltimore field office. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but the FBI has field offices, obviously. But they also have resident agencies, which aren't as big as field offices, which are basically satellite offices. So the Wilmington, Delaware resident agency is under the purview and direction of the Baltimore field office. And the aforementioned agents, Zelak and Wilson, worked in that resident agency. And they didn't seek out this material. They didn't want to go after Hunter. What happened was this shop owner, after Hunter left it there, saw all of these crimes, called them, and they basically kept him, you know,
stalled him
for at least 6 weeks before they finally were forced to take it in. And his father, the shop owner's father, Steve McIsaac, is a retired Air Force colonel, served the country honorably, you know, for decades, and he actually went to the Albuquerque field office too to let them know about this, saying, hey, this is explosive stuff. Why anybody would put this on their computer is insane. But they didn't do anything. They don't want to touch it.
They didn't want to touch it. And so eventually this laptop made its way,
yes.
I mean, it was to the FBI, and then portions were leaked to New York Post. Is that, yeah.
Yeah, so after JP realized, JP himself, the laptop.
This is the shop owner,
yes.
Mac Isaac.
Yeah, it's a weird Scottish name, but yeah, JP Mac Isaac is his name. And he admits that he was a little bit naive going into this. He thought the FBI was going to do its job. Once he realized they weren't, which is a very sad state of affairs, he gave a copy of the hard drive, which he had made before he gave the original to the FBI.
Wisely.
Yes, very wisely. And I am applaud his courage. We wouldn't have this if it weren't for him. He gave a copy to the attorney for Rudy Giuliani named Bob Costello, who then gave it to the New York Post, and I got it through Rudy.
Okay, so I will tell you something else for our listeners and our audience here. So we met an hour before this show, and I have this book, and I, you know, put my usual sticky thing going, and I said, look, I don't want to, you know, put you in the spot. So if I just jump to, what are the crimes you were uncovered in Romania? You know, could you answer? He said, yeah, I pretty much have the whole thing memorized. I mean, which I thought was astonishing.
Well, it's like any author.
You
said your sister was an author. If you spend 18 months doing something, that is what I did every day. So I have to memorize. It's my duty to.
Okay. One point I want to make before we really dive in the contents was, you talked about in preparing this, you and your team, when people were going to be featured, because
yes,
they were in lap, they were in pictures, they were in emails, you made the attempt to contact anyone.
Every single one of them.
Every single one of them.
Every single one of Hunter's business partners, every single drug dealer, every single hooker. I called every single one of them. 95% of them told me to F off, press off, yes. But 5% of them talked, and it's astonishing what Hunter told some of these women. He basically
told these hookers.
Yes, the president. And remember, it's not like Joe is pleading with the American people and saying, hey, look, I have a troubled son. His brother died. He's addicted to substances. He's going to be in Montana in a cabin painting. Just let him be. No. Joe said this was the smartest man he knows from a pure intellectual capacity.
Right.
He said that in December of 2020. So to me, I'm looking at that saying, all right, fair game. This guy has no repentance, doesn't apologize for anything, has no self-awareness. And the president of the United States, who has a nuclear code, says this is the smartest man he knows. So why wouldn't you want to learn about the smartest man he knows?
The
president of the United States says
this
is the smartest man he knows. He's worthy of a what we call a digital colonoscopy.
Okay. That's a memorable term.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what this book, I mentioned as we start, what the book does, and I just want to kind of run through, because this isn't just to embarrass Hunter Biden or the family.
No, it's only about crimes.
Yeah, it's about crimes, and crimes that matter. It's not jaywalking, and it's not people who, you know, missed a small amount of income they didn't declare in their taxes.
Yes.
Truly consequential crimes. And so I want to try to run through these briefly. Everyone knows the story on Ukraine.
Yep.
And because I enjoy this clip and only played it about 100 times on my show before this, but Emilio, I sent you this clip. This is he who occupies the White House. What he had to say, do you have that? Oh, we do. Go ahead,
lovely.
Please.
I said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Okay, yeah. So let's just start with, this is a, you know, this, I played this, of course, all the time
iconic
during the impeachment of Trump.
Look where they're at. Beautiful globalist Council of Foreign Relations. That's a Tom Wolfe novel right
there.
Oh,
yeah. But you know, so he, Joe Biden, I guess he was VP at the time. Let's get an echo in here. He was referring to wanting to have a prosecutor fired. I think we all know, but tell us quickly why he wants that prosecutor fired.
The name of the gentleman is Viktor Shokin, Shokin. He's a Ukrainian. He was basically their district attorney, and he was investigating Burisma, which is a Cypriot registered, I love that because it's money laundering capital of the world, Cypriot registered Ukrainian-based gas company that Hunter sits on the board of and was making, by the way, it's not 50 grand. That's fake news from Reuters. The amount that Hunter was receiving was $166,000 a month for sitting on this board, has zero experience in energy, can't speak a word of Ukrainian, doesn't know anything. And his press release of him announcing that he got the spot is that he was going to work on corporate governance and transparency. It'd be like John Wayne Gacy talking, you know, being a counselor. It doesn't match at all. And he split half of that with his buddy Devin Archer, who's much more polished, much more handsome, convicted felon, of course. He ripped off an Indian tribe for $60 million. But Devin Archer received 83 grand of that. So $83,333.33 was given to Devin Archer and Hunter Biden.
Every month.
Every single month. So it's $1 million a year. And again, for nothing other than what it really was, which is we call it in the report an insurance policy that the Ukrainian oligarch who beneficially owned Burisma, his name is, well, they call him Nikolay, but his last name is Zlochevsky. That is his insurance policy to not get prosecuted.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, I need a Westerner to make sure that these people don't actually enforce the law against me. Hunter Biden's the guy.
Okay, so you do in this section on China, which I love what you're doing. You're pointing out crimes, and you actually list
pictures.
The statute.
I can't remember anything if I don't see the guy's face.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't see?
Well, I was just going to say that everything, you know, it's
on page 89.
There's not 600 pages of writing. It's about 375 only. Half of it is exhibits, right? So if it's not a bore to read, that's important, because if I were you and listening, I'd be like, I don't want to read 600 pages, right? But there's pictures. This is the G-rated section, but everything has pictures and there's exhibits. So when I'm saying, or when I talk about an interaction, you don't have to search for it. The email's right there. So we call this the narrative. And then at the top, it's the when, where, who, what. So when did this occur? What venue could a U.S. attorney or state level prosecutor bring the charge in? And we have no illusions of this happening. We were just saying, for the record, this is where it would be. Who Hunter was involved with, during the interaction, and then what statute it is. So.
Everybody, join me, Ann Vandersteel, right now on Writing on TV for Uncensored Truth, hard-hitting 30-minute headline news. You're not going to want to miss it every weeknight on Writing on TV, 8 p.m. Eastern.
We have to unify, put our petty differences aside, who's more powerful, who has the information, and let's work together in lockstep. You, the people, your stories are fascinating, they're real, they're organic, and they're the truth.
Right now with Ann Vandersteel.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at brighteonstore.com. Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the BiviStick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the BiviStick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 BiviSticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT 1, 2, 3.
Yes. On this very topic, which was, it's one thing, it's bad enough money laundering coming to the hands of the Biden family. But that's compounded, or it's occurring at a time when China is clearly America's number one enemy, worldwide. I mean, our number one enemy. They had their 2020 meeting of the party, the big party meeting, where they announced their plan to be the world's single superpower by 2049, which is basically the 100-year anniversary of the communists taking over China. They've announced they want to take us down. They have announced through other publications, which I've talked about in the show. So this is a country that wants to take us down, and he who occupies the White House is sitting there receiving money from them, and obviously too many people compromise as to his ability. I mean, this is why it gets around to the existence of America, the safety and security of America. It's not just lousy, creepy theft you know, money laundering. It's American security.
You said it better than I could. It's not that we're talking about wire transfers from, you know, Brazilian tycoons. This is the top of the top. If you have one country in the world, and they make it their express mission, like you say, they're not even hiding it.
They announce it.
They're inside of every institution, academia, and it's really selling out. They will take the Chinese cash so long as, you know, the Bidens are willing to sell out America so long as they get their nice McMansion and beach house, and which, by the way, all those houses have then have been found out to have hosted classified documents, hilariously.
It was a mistake. He didn't mean to leave him there. What are you talking about?
He just has Lewy bodies. It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to say that.
Okay, so we have about seven more minutes, and we'll go to audience questions. And I want to hit, and this always goes by. I told you I needed 3 hours. I really did tell you that. Okay, so the other crime beyond business-related we've been discussing, you have sex-related, drug-related, influence peddling, and then what we should do about it. And sex-related crimes, what do you say to the argument, okay, everyone knows Hunter Biden, obviously he's a sex addict, he's mentally unhealthy in the kind of conduct he engages in, but what does that matter to America?
Oh, well, I think that not every sex crime is created equal. Some are more important than others. I think from an objective standpoint, the times that he engaged in human trafficking was much more important than just a pure state-level solicitation. So what do I mean by that? We have proof that Hunter flew a 19-year-old girl, not an underage girl, but a 19-year-old girl from California to New York to engage in prostitution. That's a clear violation of the Mann Act. That statute just put R. Kelly and Ghislaine Maxwell in the pen for 10 to 20 years. So what our reasoning for including those crimes is basically to show the double standard in the United States, that we can have proof in text messages, videos, emails, wire transfers, Venmo payments. I became an expert on Venmo. I cite like six different academic studies on using Venmo to launder money for prostitution and drug deals. And I called all these drug dealers. And so why it's important to get info on Hunter, why it's important is that, first of all, in the drug-related context, Joe Biden was the force behind creating a distinction, a legal distinction and a sentencing distinction between crack and powder cocaine. Set that aside, whatever you think about that. The irony that his own son gets kicked out of the Navy for cocaine, gets arrested the weekend after he graduates high school for cocaine, and is in rehab a dozen times for cocaine, and yet never gets arrested, only just to get, you know, embarrassingly kicked out of the Navy, and never faces any real consequences. The fact that his daddy was the one who put those laws in place and nobody's allowed to talk about it. It's the height of hypocrisy. It's, oh, those are for all the plebeians. Those federal, yeah.
That's my, yeah, it is the rule of law. We have featured on this show, we have wonderful organizations, as every other city does, fighting sex trafficking, exposing it, advocating for prosecution for everyone involved. Yes. And this is the first family.
Oh.
The first family with these pictures that are, I mean, it's embarrassing. I wouldn't show this book to my mother if she were around because it'd be embarrassing.
There is a disclaimer. We don't have a trigger warning, but on the very first page it says, given the explicit nature of the content on the Biden laptop, this is for an adult readership.
Oh, it is for adults. But the concept, you know, it's the deeper point. It's not just sex crimes. It is what you're saying, but it is the loss of the rule of law. You're saying if you are an average, peasant in America, and you don't really matter, you're going to get arrested. But these people are trafficking, and the videos, and actually you list separately, which is great, non-consensual pornography.
Yes.
Many of these women thought, wow, Hunter Biden, he's famous, but not knowing they're being videoed, they're being photographed, and it's all in here.
And he uploaded them to pornography websites that you can still go view today. His pornography accounts are still active today. His dad's in the Oval Office.
Yeah. So, you know, I commend you because the book really does lays out crime, not just at the federal level, but even if state prosecutors decide they cared. You've done their research. You prepared their memos for them. They just
I've talked to two state AGs. The AGs are interested. I'm not certain that they're dogged enough. I would like to see much more energy. But there are state-level AGs that are interested in. And a couple of them, of the money laundering offenses, are within the statute of limitations at the state level. So Joey B. will pardon his son. If David Weiss, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Delaware, grows a backbone and charges Hunter for anything, Joey might let the trial go through, but there's no way Hunter is spending a day in federal pen. It'll be the last thing Joe does.
So given that, because you, I mean, this lays out crimes, not just Hunter, not just Joe Biden, but really numerous people in the extended family. It's family, and then it's his business cohorts. It lays out, you know, every bit of data you could need, including reference to the statutes that apply. And but you don't think anything's going to come of it.
At
you
the
don't
federal think level, no.
Okay.
But that's why at the end we say, there are many state-level statutes that have to be actioned. The reason why is because Joe can't pardon state crimes. He can only pardon federal crimes.
Right. True story. So that is the reason to write this. And were there other reasons to write
this? Historical. And I'm a nerd. So I looked at this as a great...
I love nerds.
The amount of data in this is unconscionable. 200 gigabytes. We're lucky. Tom Fitton, God love him, he goes to litigation for 9 months for like 10 emails from an agency that have half of them redacted. We have this laptop that's been dropped, and that's why we created the site BidenLaptopEmails.com. It's got over 1 million unique views. We put all the emails online. Anybody in the world with an internet connection can go download the entire Biden laptop email cache.
I want to be sure we get that in before we get to questions. BidenLaptopEmails.com. .com. And you can actually, I went there. You can click on something. It'll bring everything up you possibly want to have. So it's a great resource that you can all go to. And remember, if you'd like to participate in guessing how many millions we know were transferred from CCP, the Biden family, whoever's closest gets
this book.
And this
is a floor, so it could be more. This is the one we have a paper trail for.
Yeah. So I do want to start our questions. I feel like I have one more quick thing to ask you about. The totals I want to say again. 633 page report, 459 alleged crimes. There were 128,000 emails, and it's all organized in the most astonishingly logical with footnotes. You can look it up yourself. And so you don't really have to, there's nothing conclusory just stated here without facts, which I think makes all the difference for people saying, well, they don't really know. It's all in here. And
and we include the exhibits.
Yeah.
So somebody doesn't have to go look somewhere else to find something that we're talking about. We include it in the report. And the last thing I'll say before the questions is, you know, this is a team effort. I recognize my own limitations. I recognize my youth, and there are things that I need help on. And so this was a result of many, many people. I sent this to, you know, high school English teachers who have master's degrees that just went line by line because there are a lot of mistakes I made. So when it was put out, it was the result of literally dozens, like Melanie, you know, the person who put us in touch. She read it back in, you know, April of 2022.
Wow,
it was just a draft. So I want to thank them. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay. Also, Miranda Devine had a short little, I'm working on getting her in the show. She's an incredible writer. She had a brief, this is what it looked like, a brief article she had up on New York Post.
Yes.
Anyway, you might want to take that a look too, just a great summary of this. So we have, someone has a microphone right there, and we're going to get, you have to stand right here. You got to come up and stand right here and speak right into the microphone so that our happy listeners can hear you.
I first thank you so much for doing this. And you know, I think the thoughts of it were sort of a tawdry voyeur kind of book is not the case. I mean, there's just the financial money laundering is really the big issue in selling out your country. I wanted to ask, in the last couple of days, you hear the bank flags with the mysterious third Biden.
Yes.
Do you want to say who did you, can you tell us?
Yeah, it's out now. James Comer, somebody on his staff revealed it. It is Hallie Biden, the widow of Bo Biden. And it's no surprise to us, Hunter and her shared bank accounts. So this money was ultimately meant for Hunter, but this is a common tactic of money launderers to have front men. So they don't put everything in their own name. We are tracking another case that involves Larry Ray, who started a sex cult in New York, basically lived in his daughter's dorm at Sarah Lawrence College and ended up pimping out one of her classmates. He never had a bank account. He actually kept it in other people's names, $2.5 million. So it's no surprise that Hallie was taking payments. Hallie's a school counselor. I love school counselors in general, but she has no clue about Chinese private equity. So it's in Hallie's name, but she's just being used in that scenario. There are much better people to go after than Hallie, namely Jimmy Biden's wife, Sarah.
We didn't even talk about Jimmy Biden, but okay, we had another question, I think.
Well, I think it was just also his artistic talents. Was there any mention of that in the...
We have a lot up our sleeves. The next thing I was going to say is that Hunter went after us. He asked his daddy's agencies, particularly the IRS, to take away our nonprofit tax exempt status the first week of April. So Hunter hates me probably more than anyone in the world. So the reason why I'm bringing that up is because we're really going after the art payments. The art payments is what they don't want to come out because it's going to say who exactly is paying for his doodles.
Garrett, quick question. What are the chances of getting the goods on the Biden crime family with Representative Comer and these 150 suspicious activities that they've got their hands on now? The bank, the money laundering information. I'm very hopeful that that will reveal just how rotten these people are.
When I met with the congressional investigators, not the congressman himself, but his staff, can I go to one page in the report?
Absolutely.
His name is Brent Sheehan. And he is the source of those 150 SARs. We had another whistleblower come to us from another U.S. bank and gave us 5 SARs. These are things that the banks file with the Department of the Treasury talking about suspicious wire transfers. So we have 5 of them. Then there's another 150. And the reason why I'm bringing this guy up is that it's on page 565. And it goes into civil penalties. That's his picture. And Brent Shaheen worked at Morgan Stanley. So those 150 those SARs came from Morgan Stanley. And what I told the congressional investigators, because I like to answer, there's always a person on my shoulder telling me to get out the 5 W's, the who, where, when, what, right? So Brent Shaheen's the who. He knows more than anybody. He needs to be subpoenaed by the Congress. But what they need to do is send criminal referrals to state-level prosecutors. Because if Jamie Comer sends a letter to Merrick Garland, it's going to go in the wastebasket. They're not going to prosecute Hunter at the federal level. What needs to occur, because I've studied this more than Jamie Comer, God love him, and all these other people, is send letters on congressional letterhead from the Oversight Committee to the AG of Arkansas, to the AG of New York. And Arkansas and Louisiana are the two states that have AGs that are not crazy. The AGs in New York and California are just... They're nuts. So AGs of Arkansas and Louisiana, they need to be the recipients of this evidence.
I'm curious about Bubba Linsky that created the video a year ago that got around and how that plays in.
Yeah, Tony talked to me.
And I'll guess $8 million.
Is it like The Price is Right where it's over? You got to do over like $1. Remember that, Bob Barker, God love him. He's still alive, by the way, Bob Barker. But the Bob Alinsky talked to me a fair amount, a half a dozen times. We had very long calls a couple of times. Tony's just telling the truth. Tony was the only one with class to come forward. We still talk about him in the report a lot because he did sign up to spread the Belt and Road Initiative around the world. So it's not like his hands are completely clean, but he did do the honorable thing and the courageous thing and produce all of the documentation. He met with Joey twice. I'd love one reporter to ask him, hey, why were you at the Beverly Hilton on May 2nd, 2017 with Tony Bobulinski in the lobby for an hour and a half? Nobody's asked him that. It's insane. Because they talked about the FARA violations they were going to do with CEFC. They talked about how they were going to rip. CEFC was the private sector arm of the One Belt, One Road initiative, which is spreading Chinese colonialism around the globe. This isn't like Hunter was selling, you know, Japanese toothbrushes, high-tech Japanese toothbrushes to the American market. No, this is infrastructure programs that were funded by the CCP in part and sometimes in whole, and that's what the Biden thought was a good use of their time.
Okay, the SAR term you used, I meant to mention that suspicious activity reports. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that Congressman Comer is saying. He had, a large number came from Treasury. So it's like, I mean, I was kind of surprised Treasury cooperated at all because they are still part of the Biden administration, yeah. But they did.
I think that they're going to be able to view them in camera. And so they're not going to be able to copy probably anything. So that stinks. Meaning his staffers are going to have to memorize what the SAR said when they see them. They're not going to be able to get them in like a PDF form, print it out to them. But the reason why I mentioned Brent Shaheen and why I don't want to make this guy mad. I'm just telling the truth. This is the dude. So if I were Comer, it doesn't matter whether Treasury gets them. Subpoena them from this guy because this is the guy who submitted them, and he has copies of them. So just go around the Treasury if they're not going to play ball.
Love that. Please go ahead. Hi.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Great information.
Thank
just
you.
Wanted to ask you, in the book, is it disclosed what he was saying that he didn't have when he was trying to get out of paying child support for the illegitimate child?
Very good question. I actually...
Oh, wait. I have to make a guess before I give it back.
Okay, yeah.
So is this the entire Biden family, including his brother, or just Hunter and...
Very good question. The entire Biden family and only wire transfers for which we have paper on them.
To from the CCP?
From CCP-linked entities and individuals, yes.
I would say that I'm going to guess $93 million.
Okay. The... I was so impressed by your other questions about does whether it includes the family members that I think I forgot what the first one was. Can you repeat it?
Whether he, because he had disclosed that he was broke when it was
very good question.
Oh, in the divorce.
Yes, so he settled before he had to give the complete picture of his financials.
Okay.
I know the attorney for the baby mama, who's a nice girl. She's from Arkansas. Her dad runs like a custom gun shop. It's like salt of the earth people. She was just lost in graduate school at the time. But Hunter, basically they blinked. Her attorneys are very sound, very sharp people, and Hunter blinked. And what I mean by that is he was gonna actually have to show all of his financials. He did have to show tax returns to calculate the payment based on Arkansas statute of what he has to do. I think it's like the average of the last 5 years, 20% of that. But he didn't have to include all of it. He didn't have to include which companies he has beneficial ownership shares of, and that's what I'm interested in. And that's why he wants to completely decimate my life and take away my source of income, which is running this nonprofit research group with this group of guys. Because we ask the good questions, which is, I don't care about your tax return so much. I want to see where you got the money stashed.
Which is a great segue to say, Garrett Ziegler, this had to be expensive to put together, to research, to pay people to be part of it. So you can support him if you'd like to do that. So they should do that by going to?
MarcoPoloUSA.org.
Marco, can we put that up in the current thing? MarcoPoloUSA.org. Because this is really a quest for truth engaged in by, really, it's a team of four. Correct?
Yeah, team of four every day. And they're all older than me. We have one guy who's my
everyone
dad.
Everyone in the room is lower than you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I know where my blind spots are, so I don't have the experience to go through all of these financial documents, right? So we have other people who, I'm a good writer, but I'm not a good financial statement scourer. I hated the two accounting classes I took. I actually got a B in one of them. And so I know where I need help at. And so it's a group of guys. We call ourselves an OSINT collective, open source intelligence. Most of my day is spent going through county property records. I know it's not sexy, but Newcastle County, Delaware, of all the things Delaware is known for, the lack of transparency in their corporate structures, Newcastle County actually has a very transparent county website, and I urge you all to go check it out.
Okay, on that note, we are a little tiny bit past time. We only have two guesses. We're about to wrap up here. So anyone else want to guess how much?
45 million.
What was the number?
45 million. 62 million. 33 million.
Probably if they told it all.
The gentleman, the gentleman in the blue shirt's correct.
Yeah,
we have receipts. Remember, these are receipts. And when I say 459 violations of state and federal laws and regulations, that's a floor. So I have paper for all of those. The amount is 6.8 million that we have paper for. Because why? Because I don't have subpoenas. I would love, and that's why I was telling the congressional staffers what to subpoena, because I would love to have subpoena power, but I don't, because I'm not in civil litigation, nor am I a congressional staffer. So I think once the subpoenas are issued, it'll be a lot more than 6.8 million. And remember, the son of the President of the United States still has 10% of BHR, and that could be tens of millions. The payout of BHR is going to be a lot. His attorneys have lied to the New York Times, of course, because the New York Times are stenographers and will put down whatever they want. They have lied to the American people. Hunter is still invested in that, so that means the smartest man the U.S. president knows is invested in a fund whose stated mission is to help the CCP.
And on that note, Garrett Ziegler, thank you so very much for joining
me
today.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
And for all our listeners out there, thank you so very much for tuning in to America Can We Talk. Every Monday through Thursday at 3 p.m. Central Time, I do this show to speak truth about America because America matters. And I will talk to you next time.
.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AI.